Please turn in your Bibles once again to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we consider the subject, he made himself of no reputation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fact that he is God with you. Isaiah saw him sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And then the shepherd saw him in the manger, in the body of a little baby. Help us to understand the significance of Jesus coming without a reputation. And the sacrifice that was for us. Please help us in this study. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We who believe in Jesus Christ are grateful for the sacrifice he made for us. And when we use that term sacrifice, we generally think of how he suffered on the cross. While that was a tremendous sacrifice, and we don't want to minimize it at all, there is more to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Part of it we find here in Philippians chapter 2, where in verse 5 it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." A person's reputation is a statement regarding his value. The better your reputation, the higher your value. Jesus Christ's reputation gave him a value that was eternally priceless. To give that up, to make himself of no reputation, was a tremendous sacrifice on Jesus' behalf. We start with this, who being in the form of God. The word form, on the one hand, does express something about the external appearance. On the other hand, the outward appearance, the outward form, expresses the inner essence. So what was God's form? Well, John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit. And then Jesus clarified in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, a spirit hath not flesh and bone. In fact, if we go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, we see an interesting word applied to God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, what's that next word? Invisible. You can't see him. Well, what about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, where he says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Well, according to John in his gospel, in John chapter 12 and verse 41, that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, not God the Father. Go over to John chapter 17 and verse 5. John 17, verse 5. Prior to creation, this statement Jesus gave us. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before creation, prior to creation, there was no need for man to see God because man didn't exist. Then in the Old Testament, whenever God was seen, it was the eternal Son of God. In Exodus chapter 33, God the Father actually had said to Moses, "For there shall no man see me and live." I think it was God the Father who was speaking directly to Moses. But then when there was any visible manifestation of God, it would always be the Son of God. For example, even the burning bush, I think it was the Son of God. There was some visible manifestation. Or remember when Jacob was wrestling with the Lord, that would be the eternal Son of God. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the Son, being the brightness of his glory in the form of God, and the express image of his person." Now, there are lots of mysteries about the Godhead. Lots of mysteries about God. How can there be three persons and only one God? It's difficult to understand. We don't have to understand it. It's just what the Bible tells us is true. Sometimes we don't need to understand certain things. We just need to believe them. God said it, so I believe it. It's as simple as that. Three persons, one God. Somehow, God had arranged within himself that the Father would be invisible. No one would be able to see him. But the Son would be able to manifest somehow so that people could see. And the Holy Spirit, you never see. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? You don't ever see the Holy Spirit. Then go over to John chapter 14 and verse 9. John chapter 14 and verse 9, which is a follow-up of Hebrews chapter 1. John chapter 14 and verse 9. Where in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," because the Son is the person of the Godhead that expresses God to mankind. Any expression in the Old Testament was merely a temporary manifestation. But then, in a moment, back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, where it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Remember John chapter 7 and verse 5? "The glory which I had with thee before the world was." He was equal with God, is equal with God. Equal in quantity, equal in quality, meaning that everything that God is, Jesus Christ is. Thus, the reputation of Jesus Christ before he became man is that he is God. Let's go over to that passage in John chapter 12, and beginning in verse 37. John chapter 12 and verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Where is that said in the Old Testament? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. And what's in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah? A description of the sufferings of the Savior. Verse 39 here in John chapter 12, therefore they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. Where is that said? Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And what do we see in Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah sees the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And here in John 12, verse 41, it says, these things, both from Isaiah chapter 53 and Isaiah chapter 6, these things both said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him, Jesus. Interesting. There he was, sitting on the throne. And Isaiah knew that the one sitting on the throne would be the one who would come and suffer for us. And so Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. After verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. A reputation means that you are held in honor. You have a certain value to you, a good reputation, that is. But to have no reputation basically means that nobody knows who you are. You have nothing to be remarkable about. Jesus' reputation was that he is God, but when Jesus came to earth, he decided he would not come with that reputation attached to him, but rather he would come, take on a form which had no reputation attached to it, no importance, no greatness, no glory, but rather, as it says here in verse 7, the form of a servant. Verse 7 says, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The form of a servant and the likeness of men are parallel statements. We, people, human beings here on this earth, have a status of nothing above a servant. Doesn't make much out of us, does it? This word form here in verse 7 for the form of a servant is the same word used above for the form of God. So it talks about our external appearance, but also refers to our inner being. Man is not just a physical being. We have a soul. We are a real person who's walking around in a physical body. The form of man, by its intrinsic and essential nature, is the form of a servant. That's what it says here. The form of a servant in the likeness of man. Psalm 8, verse 4. Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Wow. What are we? Psalm 144, verse 3. Psalm 144, verse 3. Ask the same question. Lord, what is man? It's an interesting question to contemplate. What are we really? So many human beings that do not ascribe to faith in God are a little too arrogant about themselves. Oh, we think we're so intelligent, so advanced, so capable. Hollywood likes to make movies about invasions from outer space. And man always wins. Man always wins. There's going to be an invasion from outer space one of these days. And man is not going to win. Because the invasion is going to be Jesus himself. Man, isn't that much? So it asks the question here in Psalm 144, verse 3, what is man? That thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man, that thou makest account of him. Man is like vanity. His days are a shadow that passes away. God is eternal. He just exists. He always has been, always will be. He just exists. But what is man? 70, 80 years of time? And 1 Timothy 6, 7 says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What are we? But Jesus chose to identify with us and take the form of a servant, making himself of no reputation. Why did he do that? Why did he choose to come into this world with no reputation? He could have arrived with tremendous fanfare. Remember when the angels appeared to the shepherds, there was the glory in heaven and the host singing. Jesus could have come like that. What a tremendous announcement for the world to see. No. What does Luke chapter 2, verse 7 say? There wasn't even any room in the inn for Joseph and Mary. They had to find a place where the animals were kept. There was no crib. No fanfare, no audience, no media, no crowd gathering. Just a husband and a wife and a baby born, wrapped in a cloth and laid in a manger. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Where it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Think of that. The very person whom Isaiah saw sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, who was accustomed to having angelic beings fly around his throne, singing unto him constantly, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, humbled himself. I suggest to you there is actually no arrogance in God. Just because he's God doesn't mean he's arrogant. If that were true, he would not be perfect. He has the capacity to humble himself. And he did that. Not just in becoming a man, he humbled himself in becoming a sacrificial lamb. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, where it says he humbled himself, it says then he became obedient unto death. He did not just die. His death was an act of obedience. Remember what he said when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying the evening before he was going to be crucified. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even though Jesus bore all our sins in his body on the cross, the entire act was one of obedience. Thus, it was an act of righteousness. In contrast to Adam and Eve, who were disobedient, Jesus was perfectly obedient to the will of the Father. He suffered the death of the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What about that tree? Did you ever think about that tree? It was a tree cut down, made into logs, prepared as a cross. Who made that tree? God made that tree. There's an interesting poem about that tree. It goes like this. He molded and built a small, lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain and sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected, and mocked. Still, he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life. With love, he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. Isaiah 53 says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, Jesus has a reputation. has always had a reputation. His reputation is that he is God. Sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, full of glory, eternal, immortal. An eternity past, invisible, the brightness of the glory of the Father, the express image of his person. But on a dark December night in a crowded city where there was no room for his parents, his earthly parents, in the end, Jesus came into this world virtually unnoticed. Without the announcement of the angels to the shepherds, likely no one would have come. But purposely, Jesus laid aside his reputation. He became as one who had no reputation. Men would declare concerning him, is not this the carpenter? And they were offended at him. Is not this Joseph's son? And they were filled with wrath. The Jews then murmured at him, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? And they were offended at him. And when he was tried during the night before he would be crucified, the priests accused him of speaking blasphemy and caused that he would be found guilty of death. And they spit in his face and hit him and crucified him. But only because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All this Jesus did for you. You who have no reputation, you who are nobody, you who are vain and worthless sinners condemned to hell, you who deserve no mercy or grace from God, you who should be cast into outer darkness for eternity where there is torment and wailing and gnashing of teeth, you who have fallen short of the glory of God, who despised and rejected the Savior, who have gone astray and turned to your own way, who don't understand, who don't seek after God, who are gone out of the way, who are become unprofitable, who do no good, whose throat is an open sepulcher, whose tongue uses deceit, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, whose feet are swift to shed blood, who are in the way of destruction and misery, and who have not known the way of peace, and before whose eyes there is no fear of God for you. Yeah, for you. Jesus laid aside his reputation. The reputation he had as God. He took it off to take the form of a servant, to give you a reputation. As those who are restored to glory as the children of God. Do you believe in him? Have you received him? Has he restored you to glory? It's not hard. Just admit that all of this description of us with no reputation is true. Come to God in humility and admit you're nothing but a sinner. But Jesus took off his glory robes, left heaven and came here. And did all that he did for you. Can you tell God the Father you believe it? And receive Christ as your Savior. If you've already done that, will you be humble enough to serve him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve what he did for us. But we're grateful. Oh, yes, we're grateful. Lord, anyone at the hearing of this message that has not yet been restored to glory through faith in Jesus Christ, bring that faith to their heart at this moment, please. And help us who've already been saved have a willing heart, a humble attitude, and day by day serve our Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.